Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Jennifer, great to see you. And so I'm kicking us off. Normally, it's Jennifer that kicks us off. And the only reason I'm kicking us off today is this is going to be a tribute show. And we're tributing and honoring an amazing person who left us last week by the name of Tom Miller. Tom Miller was a man who exuded the topic of which we're going to speak about today. This topic is going to be on the topic of kindness. So this is part three of an ongoing series around leadership. Last week, we were honored to have Sean Layden join us. And this week, we're going to talk about, really, as we do, we have me and Jennifer talk, we have a guest, and then me and Jennifer talk. And this week's, again, topic is kindness. And Tom Miller exuded kindness. He was a father to four amazing children, grandchildren. He supported and loved so many people. And one of the things he did for me was always believed in me long before I believed in myself. And he was the father to one of my best friends, a woman by the name of Amy Miller. And his son-in-law was Brad Swarovski, who was one of my oldest and best friends. And one of the things that's so amazing about Tom was not just how he was kind to everyone he met. One of the best things about Tom was he used that kindness to empower people. To transform not just who they saw themselves as, but what they're capable of. And for Amy, she started an amazing company called Transcendence Theater. Again, it's the word Transcendence Theater. Please look it up. It is an amazing, amazing, amazing place. It has amazing purpose, and it is a truly remarkable mission that they have. And then one of my dearest friends is Amy's brother, Brian Miller, also Tom's son. And he started a brilliant company that focuses on neuroscience as it relates to sports. They're innovators, they're transformative, they're creative, and it's all through Tom's kindness and belief in all of us that inspires us. And that's what great leaders do. So the topic today is going to be leadership as it relates to kindness as a strength. Jennifer?
Beautiful, Brandon. Thank you. I think it's easy to get caught up in trying to be a good leader and what is a good leader, which is part of what we've been exploring last week with Sean and in this ongoing series, because no matter where you're at in your career, there are going to be opportunities for leadership that are going to be present. And I'm excited to deep dive with you today onto this, Brandon. And before we do, though, I want to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible, the people at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including executive search, temporary placement, and payrolling services. And Brandon, to take it back to Tom, I mean, when you and I were talking offline, one of the things I wish is that we could just pre-record all of our pre-recording calls, you know, whether it's just you and I or you and I and Sean or whoever we're having on the show. I think that we get into so much juice, and we were kind of brainstorming last week, and you shared with me about Tom and the difference that he made. And this idea of kindness, I think that it would help perhaps today to start off by talking about what kindness is and what it is not. You know, kindness is doing something that will help another person grow to be their highest and best self. Mm-hmm. For me personally, any mentor, leader I've ever worked with, kindness is not necessarily just kowtowing to somebody and saying, oh, good job. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the kind thing is to fire somebody. And I know that sounds terrible, but there was a gentleman years ago who worked in my company, and he was the sweetest person you've ever met. There wasn't an unkind bone in his body. And we would talk often. It was important to me to always talk to my team about what mattered to them. And he would share with me often the recruiting wasn't his passion. He didn't like it. Like, he was showing up there and he was doing it because he needed a paycheck, like many of us do. And it really was a struggle. It was probably one of the hardest times in my life. I've had to fire a handful of people, and I do not recommend it. And I wound up terminating him, but it was because I knew out of love in my heart, his soul was shrinking. Like being there and doing that job, it was causing him not to be fulfilled in the way he was meant to. So I want to start off by saying, perhaps we think kindness might be, oh, you always promote people. Oh, you always, you know, keep people on board. That's kind. Where from an evolution standpoint as a human being, think back on some of the things that you went through. I had a woman kick me out of a class years and years ago, really brilliant woman, Allison Armstrong. I recommend her programs. And she kicked me out of a class. She said, you know what? You're just not ready. And in the time, I was furious. I was so angry. I thought she was a capital B-I-T-C-H. And, you know, I even said she was a bully. And in retrospect, years later, I see that she saw that wasn't my path. That was absolutely not my path. And I wouldn't be able to be standing where I am today had she not done the kind thing, which was to see that I wasn't ready, nor was it the right time for me to be doing that. What are your thoughts, Brandon?
We're getting really aligned as we've always been, but more so as we do this work. I was walking around a parking lot today of all things, and then went for a walk and thought about the exact same thing you just said, which is that kindness is not just promoting someone willy-nilly. It's doing the hard thing. It's exactly what you just said. So I'm not going to heat you because I'm too much of a feminist to do that. What I will say is it reminded me of one of my favorite lines of Good to Great, which is that keeping someone in the wrong job is like stealing years of their life. You are literally, you know they don't belong, but they know they don't belong. We're all unhappy. And you're creating, and it's not even that you're creating unkindness. Then they're unhappy and they're spewing that feeling onto others. And they're probably bringing it home. One of the reasons I left law for myself personally was that it was never going to spark joy. It was always creating pain for me. And I'm not so strong that I couldn't let that pain affect those I loved most. I would try to disappear, but that wasn't even healthy. To disappear isn't healthy. It's its own form of, you know, as I like to say, there's two forms of abuse in life too. Just, I mean, I know we're starting a weird place for kindness. We're talking about this, but like abuse is both saying a mean thing and abuse is withholding love. Mm-hmm. And when we don't love ourselves or we're not kind to ourselves, we may know it's hard for us to be kind to others. So that's one thing. So I totally agree that it's not being just willy-nilly nice. I think it's doing the hard things, saying the hard things, or saying the thing that someone needs to hear. Not that what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. I have so much empathy now that, you know, as I've done more and more leadership work and management work and what have you, of my poor managers over the years that knew I was capable of more, but couldn't get more out of me. And it was because I just didn't enjoy the work. I saw that. It was like beautiful.
Yeah. There's this beautiful little thing that looks like a fairy floating around. So I want to acknowledge that I am aware of it and it's there and it's lovely and cute and adorable. So that's live shows for you.
Speaking of Tinkerbell. All right. That's pretty cool. Something angelic. I feel like that's your cue to turn it back to you, other than we're aligned.
I love that, Brandon. Yeah, it's when we talk about kindness and leadership, I also want to say it's also not being nice. I think people oftentimes have the word nice and kind collapsed. Right. Nice to me means there's a sacrifice. There's an element of pleasing. And as we were talking last week with Sean Layden, and as we'll continue to speak with many other leaders, it's you're going to be up against a wall if you're trying to be nice and lead. Leaders have to make choices that sometimes you will not be able to see in that moment how it's for the greater good. And I think that kindness, when it is partnered with the vision, is what makes some of the greatest leaders that we've ever seen in the world, the Toms of the world, to your point. And, you know, it's easy, especially for me being a woman, I'll be very straight with everybody out there. I didn't know how to lead. I had this vision of Devil Wears Prada. Nobody taught me how to lead. When I was 28 years old and opened my first company, I thought, oh, you got to smack it to them real hard and you got to put people in their place and people don't know what they're doing. And it turns out that is a terrible, awful way to lead. I do not recommend it. It will only end in heartache for you and everybody you work with. So then the question I think that is interesting to dive into today, Brandon, is how can you be kind? And how do you even know when you reference From Good to Great? I also want to touch on what that is. That's one of my favorite business books too that I read. It was the very first one I ever read. From Good to Great talks about getting the right people on the bus. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you have the skills, you mentioned, Brandon, that you might have somebody who's on the bus who's really good at what they're doing now, or they might not be good at what they're doing right now, or they were at one point, and now they have to pivot. I had once asked to a law firm, a major law firm in downtown, they had the best longevity, like 5% turnover for a large law firm. That's highly unusual. And I asked their executive director, I said, how did you do that? And she said, you know what, Jen? And she's one of the kindest people I know. She said, I knew if somebody was good, I would, you know, fight tooth and nail to keep them. And that person had a skill set and we had to learn how to leverage it. Now, I will say the flip side of that is that's not always going to be the case. That's a risk you also have to run working in a smaller company. When I was starting off with my company, our average team was 4 to 6 people. And so you can't always move somebody into a new role like you can at a 3 or 4,000 person company. So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are, Brandon, on how do you know, like, how do you know how to be kind in some situations and how do you see good in people? And what do you do if there's not room to be kind? Do you fire them?
Right. And again, we talked about that. Just because you're firing someone doesn't mean it's not a kind act. But that also means that you need to be dealing with empathy. I always worry, you know, I haven't talked to a lot of them, but I've talked to people over time. They're like, oh man, it was a good day because I made the hard decision. We let go of 10% of the staff. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. It's great. Part of it was never going to be me. I you have to do your job. But if you're having a great day and you just let go of 10 people, that's weird to me. You know, if you say, look, this is going to be good for the company, for the team, and ultimately, I believe for them. That's different. So there's an awareness that you need to bring. But I agree. That was in one of the things around the Devil Wears Prada, right? This is something that we misnomer a lot of people, where men do this too, where they have to be, oh, I'm going to be a strong alpha, you know, junk, and it's just all their own masculine BS that they think makes them strong, and realize it's just a mask that they're just showing up with. So why is kindness so important? It's exactly what you started off saying, which is that you can't empower if you're not kind. You can't inspire if you're not kind. You can lead by fear. Don't get me wrong. You can lead by being mean to a point. But I do not believe you're going to get creativity out of that. I do not believe you're going to get innovation out of that. You know, a lot of people, Steve Jobs is famous for this, of being hard on the engineers and yada, yada. But there was also a part where people said, you know, Steve said enough. I just kind of believed him after a while. You know, I just had to. Kindness comes from this desire to lift up others. As you point out, kindness is a giving. It is a giving. It is a giving. It is a giving. It is not about being selfish. Now, most neuroscience studies will show you that the more you are kind, the more you give, the better you will feel. Your cortisol levels will go down, your stress hormones, and you are more likely to get endorphins. So there is as Simon Sinek will say, we are literally biologically programmed to be kind, to be empathetic, to help. It is how our species survive. If everyone was out there focusing only on themselves, the species would not survive. We are not built that way. We are built to give and to be in service. So I think it's so important. But I will tell you, one thing that is so vital in this simple topic, if you want to get the big job, if you want to rise, is that so often that some of the kindest leaders I know are the best in the world at managing down and not the best in the world at managing up. And eventually they fill in that delta because they realize that they can never help or make impact the way they need to. But that's where it gets a little tricky. Their teams love them, but no one above them is aware of what they're doing. Or even worse, what I've seen is the not kind people, and there's a lot of them in the world, are taking credit for that person who's too kind to take credit for what they're doing. It is an unkind act to not take credit for your work. It is an equally unkind act to not give credit where credit is due. And if anyone is the type of leader who consistently takes credit for other people and gives no credit, I think that is the opposite of being kind. And I don't even know if you're a leader, in my humble opinion, but, you know.
Well, you also just touched on something important. Why are we devoting a whole episode to kindness? Whether or not you see yourself as a leader, I'm going to say, anybody out there, maybe you want to raise, maybe one day you want to make more money, maybe have a promotion, maybe be able to have more time off. Those things all come with the more that you're recognized in an organization, whether or not you wind up becoming a definitive leader, such as a manager or a vice president, et cetera. That doesn't matter. It matters of your perception, how you're perceived in the company, and that gives you leverage. So when you're somebody, let's say you're starting off your career right now and you're listening to this show, Jennifer and Brandon are having this show on kindness and why it matters and work and leadership. What I invite you to consider is that by being kind, it starts at the base level. When you develop a reputation as somebody who other people can trust, somebody who other people want to work with. I acknowledge one of my old team members, Jennifer Marcinkowski. She, way back when, she and I worked together on and off about 15 years. And she was the one who was the kindest one to all of the rest of the team. And for many years, everybody would always go to her. And when I opened my company, she was employee number one. And she wound up being so kind that she was incredible with the staff. And she's now the executive vice president of the company that I left. And she runs the team because she was somebody who was kind and always handled things in a calm manner. And I know for myself, that was something that I always learned from her about, because I personally would be reactive. Sometimes, you know, leaders get caught up in the end goal. We're thinking, okay, hunt the deer, you know, the deer being the end results, the profits, making sure that everybody's profitable. And I would forget about that element. And so one thing I would invite everybody to is that surround yourself with great people. If you're missing an attribute, if maybe empathy is something that you're trying to flex that muscle, or kindness, you're doing the best you can. Some people are naturally born with more kindness, more empathy, etc. Some people might just be more hunt the deer and focused. But when you can surround yourself, I think it was one of the presidents years ago, maybe it was Ford, who said, listen, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I surround myself with people who are smarter, kind, more brilliant. Even Steve Jobs, I think, said that. And that's one of the things that you can do to be kind to yourself, because you're not perfect. You are a human being. You're going to do the best that you can in every moment of every day. And if you know that there's an area that you need to strengthen, yes, do the personal work on it. And secondly, hire somebody or work with somebody around you who you can learn to emulate and to flex that muscle that you might not personally have.
Yeah, and it's so important that we rely back on this kind of central theme, right? That I think it was Mr. Rogers who had like just three rules: be kind. I think I love quoting Keanu Reeves on this one. I don't want to live in a world where kindness is considered a weakness. And I think about that. I think about entertainment. I have a lot of my friends are actors that I've made reference to. But even, you know, and Jennifer, you and I both met in LA, and we spent enough time in LA where, you know this, you spend enough time in LA, you meet celebrities. It's just, it's a very natural progression of living in LA. Weird things happen that are, you know, serendipitous or not. But one of the things that I noticed is the actors that I met, the ones that you see in movie year after, not the ones that are like, oh, weren't they around in the 80s and 90s? And the ones that are still around in the 80s and the 90s, Tom Hanks. And they're around and around and around and around. You know what they all have in common? Ain't talent, ain't that the best looking, ain't that they can sing the best. It's, I guarantee you, most of them are the most kind. There are certainly some jerks in Hollywood, but you are seeing a reckoning. You are seeing a reckoning more than ever. Think about the headlines. Think about the moguls and the comedians and everyone else that is not as prevalent right now. And it's because they probably weren't doing acts of kindness to others. They were thinking about themselves. They were doing selfish things for themselves. The ones I saw, the actors who were getting job after job after job, were the kindest. And it's not surprising that my friend Amy, who's the founder of Transcendence and Tom's daughter, was such an amazing actress, one of the most talented actors I've ever known, but also worth a ton. Because you have two choices. You can hire someone else. You can hire the person you're going to enjoy working with. The other thing that I read, and you know I love definitions, there's a plural noun of kindness. It's a kindness I shall never forget. It's the plural noun. That is why, if you're listening to this and you want to be a great leader, or you want to get hired and rise in your career, be kind. Because you know what people don't forget? The kindness you showed them. And if you really want to use kindness to power, find that person at their lowest or their worst. You don't know what someone's going through. You don't know what your kindness can do on a given day to change their life, to save their life. And I promise you, if you are kind, especially managing up, by the way, to leadership, so often, this is like the thing that, you know, I've coached probably 400 to 500 VPs or above in major corporations. You know what's amazing is that when you begin your career, all these people stop and you go, what can I do for you? Are you doing okay? How are you doing here? You get to the VP seats, no one asks you anymore. And was like, oh, we got this problem. We got this problem. You know, no one, you know what's amazing? And my wife is like, the kindness. I mean, it's just, she doesn't like the word kindness in the sense of like, it's almost like her superpower and she's sick of it. But she's the kindest person I've ever met. I just heard a colleague of hers say that to her today. Thank you for the kindness you've shown me. You don't know what it meant to me. You don't know how much it's helped me. That person will be her friend for the rest of my life. And this was something that was so interesting. My wife had this superpower in LA that I saw very few people do. Me and you, Jennifer, were recruiters. She would leave a job and 6 months or a year later, she'd call that boss back. Doesn't work for them. And go, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you did for me, for what you believed in me. If there's anything I can ever do for you, those people to this day talk about that. I remember one boss literally said, I've had 40, I think, interns work for me. I don't care about any of them, but you, you're the one. You know, it's just like, you know, it's a very LA thing to say. Woman's awesome. She's not even being rude. She's not even being unkind. But I think she's really saying 40 interns came and went. You're the one who stopped back in to make sure I'm okay. That's kindness. And that kindness will not be forgotten. And if you don't want to be forgotten, I promise you, people, we forget the bullies. We do. We know genuinely what they do to us. But the ones who helped us at our worst, oh man, give me a call. In the middle of the show, give me a call. And I'll sorry, Jennifer, I will have to take it. I have to. I won't not. And you would do the same.
Yeah, and I think this ties in, Brandon, to another future episode that we're going to do on reputation. Your reputation is literally your value in the marketplace. And if you could pick up the phone, and this is unfortunate, in the real world, out there in recruiting, people aren't supposed to call people who are not on your reference list. Little aside, maybe once, twice, 500 times, people who you worked with are getting called behind your back, even if they're not your official references. Now, that's something that there's no way around that. So imagine what would the last five people you worked with, it could be a colleague, it could be your old boss, it could be somebody who perhaps was someone you were managing. What would happen if five people were randomly called? What would they say about you? And would you want to hear it? Because there are, to your point, Brandon, yeah, the bullies do get forgotten, but there are some people out there who develop a reputation, much like in entertainment. I know we've had those people in legal where I would get a phone call from certain law firms and they'd say, oh, we have a position with XYZ attorney. And literally I would cringe because you have this perception that this person is terrible. Now, here's actually a really cool story I'd love to share with you. So there was once upon a time, an attorney in Los Angeles who was notorious is really the only word I could use, as the most challenging attorney. She brought in millions and millions of dollars a year for this particular law firm. And one day I get a phone call from the executive director of this law firm who says, Jennifer, I need to know why you're not filling this role. And I said, oof. Gotta be honest with you. I can't. Like, I say her name and people cringe and they don't want to work for her. And they say, well, you're our best recruiter. We need you to find somebody. And I said, okay, listen, I'm willing to meet with her. Can I meet with her? And we'll see what happens. So the next day I scheduled an appointment with the executive director and the managing partner of the firm. We sat down, we talked. And then I sat down with this attorney who everybody in the industry, and I was one of the people who perpetuated this, by the way, which is why this is so important, because gossiping is not kind to yourself or to anybody. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I sat down with this woman and I was expecting a tyrant. And instead, there was this soft-spoken woman on the opposite side of the table who was almost, there was a deep sadness in her eyes. And she said, Jennifer, I don't understand why people think I'm a monster. She said, yes, I work at all hours of the night, but sometimes I send emails. I would never expect an assistant to respond at 3 a.m. That's just me getting it off my plate. She said, I buy my assistants flowers. I give them champagne for their birthday. And we actually had this beautiful conversation, Brandon, that evolved. And I talked to her for probably an hour, hour and a half. And I got to know her without the judgments, without the filters of she's a bad person. And after that, I was able to actually talk to job seekers and say, listen, I met with this woman. She has a good heart. Here are the areas that she has to grow where she might not be able to do her best. You might feel overwhelmed by these 3 a.m. emails. But I said, in her heart, she really wants the best. And not probably a couple of weeks later, I placed somebody who was with her for 5 years who loved working with her. And I say that because the kind thing is to notice the filter that you observe yourself and you observe the world through. And I've made that mistake myself in business. I would have somebody make a mistake or disappoint me, right? And then I would see that person through a filter of disappointment. And it's only when we can see the filter, what's it like to see this woman as a jerk, you know, in that filter, what's that like for her or me as a boss, seeing one of my team members through a filter of disappointment? It's a terrible, yucky, no good feeling. And so we have the ownership, we have the capacity to choose the filter that we see the world through. And in turn, that's going to shift the filter. You might have already, I don't want to say done some damage, but you can always do repair, just like we've seen in Hollywood and other places. Yeah. You know, we give people a second chance. We even had something in recruiting where you would give people 3 chances because we're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make life choices that we wish we hadn't. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be given opportunities in life to do better the next time. However, if your baseline is kindness, then everything else is going to be downhill easily and easy and effortless from there.
Yeah, one of the parts of the definition of kindness is being considerate. And that you took the time to be considerate to her feelings is so vital there. One of the things that I think really was transitional for, you know, you talk about reputation, but the awareness that she had around her reputation and sounds like the desire she wanted to shift were transformative. And one of the things that we really should talk about is communication. You know, because communication as a relief of kindness is so important. You know, she did not intend to be a monster, but she was perceived as one. When she became aware of that, that's not her fault. It's probably their fault, to be honest with you. But it sounds like she might have adapted her approach to show where she was coming from. This happens a lot, unfortunately, in leaders for managers, where. And this happens, unfortunately, in sexual harassment. This happens where there's racism. There's a lot. What the manager will love to say is, that was not my intent. My intent was not for you to be offended by that. I'm so sorry that you're offended by that. I don't care about your intent. The impact was this. And if you were truly being considerate, you would actually not care what your intent was. You would be focused on your impact on others, especially those who you are charged with leading. And if you're making them feel that you are racist or sexist or anything, that is very much a you problem. And you need to work on the impact you're having. And that is one of the kindest things you'll ever be able to do. One of the kindest things you'll ever do is, and one of the meanest things we'll ever do is go, oh, well, this is the way I talk. If you can't handle it, this is who I am. I am the king of making leaders be more themselves. More authentically themselves. If someone is getting in trouble at work, I say, turn it up to 11, no 12, now 13. I don't care. Let's break the dial. Let's make you more you. I'm very careful though. I'm lucky because I do a lot of feminist work and I do some very woke ally work. I tend to work with people that I think are particularly kind and considerate. And so often when their voices are getting louder and louder and angrier, it is because they are fighting on behalf of the collective. They are fighting for others. And the kindest thing they can do is no longer remain silent. They must speak. And if you ever want to see me get angry, be a bully. Take advantage of someone. Be inconsiderate. Be unkind. Be any of these things. And you will get, I've worked on it for years, to pause, think about the person on the other side. But when I do that and they're in a position of power and they're harming someone else, I have no empathy. I only have empathy for the person being bullied. Not the bully. That bully is unkind to themselves. And that's why being unkind to others, you know, punchline.
So let's talk about that for a moment, Brandon, because I think another thing that's very common, we're talking a lot in the show, which is for me, the end all be all of how can I be in the world? Who can I be? How can I show up as my highest, best, most authentic self? Let's say that you do encounter somebody else. Maybe they are your boss. Maybe they're a colleague. And maybe they are not kind and they don't have a kind bone in their body at this moment. How can you or I or anybody who's tuning in out there work with that person to the best of their ability? Do you automatically quit? Do you look for the good of them? What's your recommendation on that?
Definitely don't automatically quit, because you're just hurting. That's like punching yourself in the face because someone else is punching you in the face. That doesn't make any sense. You know, there's avenues, first and foremost, as a lawyer. But two, you've got to get, unfortunately, this is very hard for me. This is a lesson I'm learning over and over again. You know, as a thought partner, when it says, be careful what you decide to study, because the universe will give you the lessons over and over and over again. And right now, the universe is giving me as many lessons I need to realize that to forgive people, I have to understand their pain. Not what happened to me, but why maybe they did an action towards me in whatever that capacity was. They don't need my forgiveness, but I'm giving it like free, like hot candy out, you know? But I feel better. I'm a happier, whatever, coach, father, husband. So first and foremost, trying to understand where the person's pain is. Number one, where are they in pain or where are they in fear? Usually someone, they're doing it one of the reasons. Either in pain, something's happening at home or in their life or whatever, or they're scared. That's usually why they're acting out. If you understand why their pain and fears, you might not, you don't have to accept the abuse, but at least you don't have to internalize it. And I think that's one of the best things we can do, is not internalizing someone else's stuff. When we do it a lot, someone yells at us and says, this is this. It's really, oftentimes it affects you, but it's not about you. So that's number one. You want to shift the dialogue, you do the Jennifer Hill trick. I don't know, you explained it perfectly. You want to shift it, you go, hey, you sit down with them. No one is sitting down with them. They're just getting madder and madder at them. And guess what? You know what an asshole knows? That they're an asshole. They're not unaware. They kind of know it. But you put them now in a position where you have to admit that they're being a jerk, and they've been a jerk for a long time, which is almost harder. Or they're right, and it's just your problem that you can't get it. You're making them choose. Don't make them choose. Don't make them choose. Talk to the empath. Meet them. But, you know, you remind me of one of my favorite lawyer stories I used to tell, which is a judge, Social Security disability. Like, we're finding people who need benefits, who have been waiting 3 years for their day in court. And God bless this judge. Every time they would give the lawyers a hard time. They hated the lawyers. And they would, you know, and sometimes they would find and sometimes they wouldn't. But it was so evident that it was on their mood. And more times than not, they were finding against you. And this person literally almost got me fired with my boss. My boss, thankfully, the firm I worked at gave me another chance. Yada, yada. And there were things I was doing. You know, I was 25 or whatever I was. You know, I was doing all the things that a 25-year-old guy does that probably weren't, you know, showing up the way I needed to at the time. But rather than go forget that judge, I knew that my clients, and this is one of the best things you can do. If you can't look out for yourself, look out for someone else. And so if you're a manager and your manager is beating up your employees, think about, take yourself out of the equation. Think about, what do I have to do to protect these people? And if that's placating this person, that's kindness. That's kindness that you'll probably serve. And in my case, I couldn't have my clients continue to lose upon this one judge. So I get my first win. It was a dead to rights case. I mean, the woman like was blind and couldn't walk, and she was like a construction worker. I mean, it was one of the first construction workers, and like, it doesn't matter. But the point is, could not lose this case. And if I did, I don't know what, I would have appealed it. I think the judge knew that, and they found it in my favor. As I'm walking out, they said, finally won one, huh? And I went, you know, Your Honor, it's because you've been so hard on me. And you've just been really tough on me. And I've thought about it, and I hope you saw that every evidence was tabbed, everything I did was put into place. I didn't enjoy that experience, but thank you for it. Because, and honestly, as much as I think I had to bite my tongue now, it's 100% true 2 decades later. 100% true that woman made me an infinitely better lawyer and maybe a better person. Because my clients deserved a lawyer every day who showed up prepared and executing the case the way they needed to. And she went, she didn't have work. She just went, that's nice. I never lost in our case. Never lost in our case. I'll never forget, she was talking to a journeyman lawyer one time. And he goes, and she walks away and goes, who are you? And I went, what do you mean? She goes, she just spent 10 minutes raving about that new young lawyer that's coming in, that's taking over DC. I hated the job. I mean, I liked being a social security judge, but it wasn't taking over anything. But you could tell he was like, what are you, what is, and he was literally like, what's your secret? How did you do that? And that's my story. Yeah. The kindness that I could show her was because that she wasn't being kind to the people I needed her to be kind to.
And I think what's so important, Brandon, is that what you just touched on is that doing the thing that's hardest, that's the kindest thing, doing the thing that's hardest in any circumstance. You know, you just nailed it on the head. And here's the great news. Do you want to have millions of dollars in the bank, have your dream job, have it all? The secret is to do the thing that's hardest for you that goes against your very nature. It's very easy to cower in front of a bully. It's very easy to say, to blame people or allow yourself or others to be seen as victims. But what Brandon did is he stood in his power and he said, no, I'm going to try something different. Here's what she's doing. Instead of cowering, I'm going to stand up and do things exactly the way she'll never expect me to do them. And in doing so, I'll be successful. And one of my favorite stories a job seeker ever shared with me, she came into my office and I was preparing for an interview. And one of my favorite questions to ask a job seeker to prepare them for an interview is the question of, tell me about a time that you dealt with a challenging person or situation. And this woman shared with me, she said, you know, Jennifer, one day I walked into an interview and this CEO had been through 20 executive assistants in a very short time period. And I sat down with him and he said to me, he's like, how are you going to handle it when I yell at you, when you do something wrong? And she said, well, sir, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand up. I'm going to walk out of your office, walk down the hallway, come back, sit down, and then allow you to finish yelling at me. He said, fine, you're hired. So she literally starts like a week later and about a week into the job. Shocker, what happens? He starts yelling at her and doing the thing that has had 20 assistants before him, before her quit. And she calmly stands up with a little panache and pizzazz. She walks down the hall, walks back into his office, sits down. He starts cracking up. They wind up having the best relationship because what happened in that moment is you break a cycle. When we can break the cycle of unkind behavior, when we can do something different, you know, there was a class I would teach about how to deal with challenging personalities. And when you have the victim on one side of the matrix and you have the yeller on the other side of the matrix, they have a very unfortunate relationship where they need each other. The yeller needs somebody to victimize and the victim needs somebody to yell at he or she. And so when you break that cycle and you do the thing that's hardest for you and the opposite, both parties now become nullified. The person who is a victim is no longer a victim. The person who is a yeller now has access to a different way of interacting with and being with people, just like with you and the judge, Brandon.
I think that's a beautiful point. And I think that one of the things I would hope that happened is because of her action, that individual stopped yelling at other future assistants or other people. You know, one of the kindest things we can do is show a kindness to someone who's not being kind. And you see this, God, I see this all the time with great leaders, you know, a COO who works with, you know, I heard this from a client of mine one time, a great partner is someone you want to suffer with. So I always think of the executive suite as partners. You know, you're all in it together. You're running finance, you're running HR, you're running legal, you're running the company, but you're all partners. And that means that you want to suffer a little bit and have some friction. Otherwise, everyone's getting along. That's why actually I'm more worried when everyone's getting along, because oftentimes that's when toxic cultures breed. Like, oh, yeah, that's fine. We're doing all the, no, you want a little friction. But it's not, as I like to say in life, it's not how you get along, it's how you fight, you know? And as long as you're not fighting cruel or mean, you're just arguing to reach a resolution. It's one of the most important things. I just think she created a resolution and that maybe have changed that person's life. It's hard to do. It's very brave. The leaders in D&I, I think, are the warriors of kindness. They are the warriors of kindness. They are. They are the ones who know that, I don't know, where being a bully or an anger, you're not going to change the world that way. They're going to do it through generosity of spirit, through calmness, through compassion, frankly, for both sides. One thing that I talked to a brilliant, brilliant friend of mine who happens to be a pastor of a huge, now expansively growing congregation in Pennsylvania, in sort of one of the Rust Belt towns. And she said a really amazing thing to me. She said that she knew Hillary was going to lose the election, not for any other reason, but the second she used the word deplorables to describe Trump supporters, because she knew that that was going to be a rallying cry for them, because they were so feeling attacked that you just gave them something to rally around. You're not going to win over a bunch of people who are feeling marginalized by using an insult. You're going to do it Like the leaders that we know, the Martin Luther Kings, the Gandhis, the people who speak of people with love and passion and meeting them where they're at. That's kindness. But I got to tell you, once again, your associate, the young woman you use as an example, she's young, but the woman you use as an example, the kindest thing she did is not to him. It's that maybe he causes less harm to everyone. And I know that's hard to do, but that's what leaders do. Simon Sinek talked about that, a general that put one of the soldiers who was bleeding out and stopped for 1 second to give him a kiss on his head and say, you're going to be okay, and then run back into battle. His job is to save everyone, but he knows that's what that guy needs. Like, I got you. God, I think kindness, I think nothing else. I think leadership is saying to everyone that you work above with, laterally with, or below with, to say the simple words of, I got you. I got you. On a day where you don't feel strong, on the day where you don't got it, I got you. That is kindness.
Yes. And as an aside, I invite everybody to go back. There was a beautiful episode that we done last year. I think it was December 16th. If you go back in the podcast on Get Yourself the Job with Mike Abershoff, who is bar none, probably one of the best speakers I've ever heard. And he joined us here on the show to talk about his book called It's Your Ship, and how he got one of the least successful ships in the Navy. And what he did is he talked to everybody. He would sit down with all 300 sailors every week because it was their ship. And no matter if somebody was complaining or what was going on, whether it was the people above him, the people who were the sailors below him, he would sit down and he would listen to the complaints. And he said, you know what, Jen? Even somebody who has a complaint, there's probably some truth in it. Even if myself and the higher-ups don't want to hear it, that's where I learned the greatest opportunities to do things better. And I loved that episode with Mike. And when I got to hear him speak last year, he just boggled my mind. You know, if you've ever been to a speaking engagement, you'll know there's forks clattering and people having side conversations. And it was one of the few times in my life, Brandon, where there was not a pin you could hear drop during this man's entire speech, because he embodied kindness and leadership and understanding. I mean, I think I would love it, Brandon, if we can do an episode later down the road. I know we've done a few throughout the years on emotional intelligence, because like you're talking about, kindness, empathy, compassion, These are things that we all need to lead in this new normal, to lead through this new normal, to whatever lays on the other side. We're basically at Alice in the Looking Glass right now. We know that there's something on the other side, we can see that there's something there. We think we know what it is. But let's be honest, guys, none of us have any idea what waits for us in Alice in Wonderland on the other side. That's kind of like the whole COVID experience. And so the way that we are going to get through this successfully, the way that we're going to navigate whatever might be thrown at us in this new normal, is through compassion, kindness, empathy, and flexing our emotional quotient.
And build on what you just said about emotional intelligence. And I think this is something I talked to someone one time, and they weren't being kind of self. They said, I got to work on emotional intelligence. I got to. And they went on and said some of the most emotionally intelligent aware things I said. I said, I don't know if you're expressing emotional intelligence, but you have. Emotional intelligence, kindness, compassion, empathy, all these words you've used, we think of them as the actions we spread out. But great leaders know, the best leaders in the world know, that it starts coming in first. Compassion, empathy, space. It's only by giving back in. And I like to joke around in high school, everyone thought, I didn't know this for years. I just thought it was a bully kid who everyone hated. And I would say to people, oh, everyone hated me. And said, everyone would say later on, no one hated you. You were just angry and stomping around all the time. And I said, that's because everyone hated me. You know, and it's just like, oh my God, really? You know, it's that simple. But one of the reasons I got into this field was I realized that the day I stopped beating myself up and just went straight into helping others, well, I was so much better at helping others. I was so much better at being there for others because I wasn't in my own head. It's one of the things I love about this field. We're almost at our three takeaways. One other thing I'd like to say is this. I'm wearing a yellow shirt. I've actually read that you're not supposed to wear yellow on camera, but I am, because this is my mother's favorite color. And the best leader, at least in my life, I've ever had is my mother, who passed away in 2010, about a decade ago. She was a Baltimore City school teacher, and she showed up every day and found the people who she thought in that school needed to be fought for, and she didn't stop fighting. But one more importantly, what she did for me and those kids and so many other lives she touched, she taught them how to fight for themselves, to be kind, to stand up, to believe in themselves. And I didn't get that lesson almost when she was alive, but I get it every day now, which is the words she said to me, I thought she said because she was being kind. She said the words I needed, that she just spoke the truth. She never said an untrue thing, but I just wasn't ready to hear it. The kindness you can give someone doesn't mean they're going to be ready to hear it, but one day they will. And that day, they're going to remember how you changed their life and made them who they are. And, you know, I've always done that for me. And she did that for a lot of others. Here's what I got for three takeaways. You tell me what you think and add anything you got, all right? I got you is the kindest thing you can say to someone or do for someone. Be there. Kindness is, again, don't fish for them. Teach them to fish. You know, doesn't mean you're going to do anything for them. You're going to say, I got you. Whatever that means to you, make them feel not alone. Stand up for yourself.
Mm.
That woman who walked out of the office is a leader, and she changed the course maybe of that company. Kindness is standing up for yourself and others.
Mm.
And help somebody move on, which is that whole thing we started with, that it's not unkind to take someone out of the wrong job. As I've often said, failing at what you're not meant to do may be the greatest success you ever have. Getting fired from the worst job I ever had led me to the best job I've ever had and the best work I've ever done. And seeing a boss who let me, was so hard on me in my new profession, and watching them in tears going, you finally found what you're meant to do, was so beautiful. I thought they were a bully, but they just knew that they needed to push me until I just decided on my own volition because they could fire me, you know, to go. And that's just beautiful. Sometimes the people we think are bullying us are sometimes our biggest champion. They just have no idea how to champion you. And if you can't help someone move on, then move on, because it's the kindest thing you can do for yourself and perhaps the kindest thing you can do for them.
I love that. That's so beautiful, Brandon. And one last thing to just throw in the mix, is just remember, see the good. See the good, or ask yourself, how could this be for the good? You might not know. You might have no idea in that moment. But when we ask ourselves, how could this be for the good? Whether you're being fired, whether or not you're being passed up for promotion, ask, what's the lesson? How could this be for the good? And what am I meant to learn from this? And how can I be of service? That's the thing I love that Mike Abashoff shared, is how can I be of service? Because we're all being of service to one another, to the people we lead, to the people we're friends with. You know, being of service is one of the greatest ways that we can express our highest and best potential as human beings on the planet.
Beautiful. And as we've said often, a great leader is a growth mindset. And being in service, all these things, kindness, it's a growth. We may never stop growing into our kindness. And sort of to wrap us up, I'd just like to say, rest in kindness, Tom Miller. You are missed.
Thank you so much. And yes, this is a special episode to Tom Miller. And thank you for sharing about Tom's kindness and how it inspired you, Brandon. Lots of love to everybody out there. And do tune in later if you missed any part of the show, you want to go back and revisit it. You can find it in about 2 days on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can also email Brandon and I at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. You can leave us any ratings, feedback, go to Get Yourself the Job on Facebook. I've also started recently on my Instagram page under Jen Hill Speaker, so at Jen Hill Speaker, creating weekly videos with job hunting tips of the week. So today's tip was, how is your career like a hand of poker? So you can find that video on my Instagram feed or on our Get Yourself the Job feed. And thank you for tuning in. This show is all about you. We love you. We appreciate you. And yeah, keep tuning in every week. We're going to continue to do a special series on leadership, empathy, and many other exciting things.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.